She's up here for a couple of days in the community just to sort of speak to Rotary and some of the towns and other groups about her findings. And I guess the hope here is that everyone has all the information they need by the end of this year to understand how we move forward, and if we're going to move forward on sort of expansion or development of a community-wide, really integrated trail system.
Mm-hmm. And to provide kind of my insight on that is we actually do have some really excellent trails already. And as I understand it, kind of the whole idea of the trails being so important to the community grew up prior to probably 2008, when they started working on some of the bike paths that we have now, like the bike path to Sagal, the Dover bike path. And the idea there was to connect communities and provide another transportation route, another transportation alternative that's not in a vehicle for people to get back and forth. And my observation is those trails are really used a lot.
You know, Megan may be able to speak to this in terms of, you know, counts. And, you know, they sometimes put trail counters on these trails. But, you know, anecdotally, yes, almost everyone I know uses some trail around here. And, you know, that connectivity is super important for communities. There's all sorts of associated health benefits with having access to trails, and not just trails miles out, but trails within a quarter mile of your home, or at least an access point. There's some great data out there that suggests that the further those access points are away, there's a precipitous decline in the number and frequency of use of trails. In the last couple of weeks, I've visited with people who are struggling with diabetes, you know, physical therapy and recovery from, you know, ailments, who've all spoken about how important these trails are and how important it is to have someplace they can get out and meet other community members, go for a walk with someone, clear their head if they've got something stressful going on in life. I think almost everyone, it's one of the few things I think everyone in Bonner County would agree that we love this place, and trails are a great way to get out and connect and enjoy Bonner County.
So definitely, as somebody who lives here, I can say contributes to the quality of life. But Megan Lawson, that is mm-hmm. your cue. You're with Headwaters Economics again, and you've completed a study on the economic impact of trails. So tell us some about your study and what you found.
Sure, and I'll just give you a little bit of background on who I am.
And, oh, you bet. Yeah, tell us a bit about Headwaters. Headwaters, yes.
So I'm not from here. I live in Bozeman, Montana, and that's where Headwaters Economics is based. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan research organization, so basically a think tank. And we do research to try to help communities make well-informed decisions about economic development, and kind of how to manage their resources so that folks are making decisions based on the best available data and the best available research. And I'm an economist with Headwaters, and I've been working up in Bonner County for about 5 years now, doing different research studies looking at kind of the economic context and what's happening in the county. And I've learned a lot of things about Bonner County over the years and really what makes it very unique economically for a rural town. And so this study, we were really interested in sort of what the economic potential is for outdoor recreation and trails. Obviously, there's already a very strong outdoor recreation economy here with a lot of tourists being drawn to the area. And we wanted to see, well, what could happen if trails were developed more comprehensively, if connections were made. So looking at kind of the potential to attract more visitors to the area, like some other communities have done, but also trying to look in a little more depth at how the impact on local businesses and kind of what it does, what trails can do for quality of life and the ability to keep and attract businesses in the community.
What are just some of the findings about how our trails are impacting us on across that range of factors?
Yeah, so already, just looking at things now, currently trails bring, kind of trail-based recreation brings about $3 million in spending to the area every year. And we looked at a couple of different scenarios for, you know, because we wanted to come up with a range of likely impacts. And we found that trails can likely bring in, depending on, you know, how much they're developed, it all depends on how kind of how much the community really wants to capitalize on the assets that are already here, somewhere between $750,000 and $4 million in new spending. So that would be on top of the existing $3 million that's already coming into the community every year. And so that's sort of the impact of things from a tourism perspective. And
so to quantify that a little better, that would be like somebody that comes to visit and they stay in a hotel and they buy something in a shop downtown and they obviously they eat while they're here.
Right. Exactly. And so that's just looking at folks who come to the area just for using trails. Or maybe they're driving through and decide to stay an extra day because, you know, they heard about a great hike that they can do or something like that. And so that's new money that would come to the community that wouldn't be happening already.
Mm-hmm. And then how about, do you quantify it for what locals spend related to trails, how the money from locals are part of that economic contribution that the trail makes?
You know, we considered kind of the local dimension of it a little bit differently, because thinking in economic terms, we're really only interested in new money that's coming to the community. And so if someone who lives here, you know, buys a new pair of hiking shoes because they, you know, because they want to go for a hike on a new trail, it's really hard to tease that out. But what we did look into was, you know, Bonner County is very unique for a rural community in the sense that it has a very diverse economy, particularly in the manufacturing sector is very big and very robust. And it's unique in very unique for a small town. And it's a big source of the economic resilience of the area, the ability to weather, you know, loss of big employers and recessions and kind of keep coming back. And so we wanted to understand, well, why are those manufacturers here? What keeps them here, kind of despite the fact that, you know, northern Idaho isn't necessarily the easiest place to do that kind of business. And so I conducted interviews with 9 Bonner County businesses, and in conversations with folks, really tried to get a sense for what keeps them here. And a lot of them, kind of their genesis stories that they came to the area because they fell in love with it. Entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. Or someone whose business was already, you know, founded in Seattle or Southern California, but really fell in love with the area, fell in love with the small town character, the winter and summer recreation. I mean, things that you certainly know really well. And it's those things that keep them here. And for those business owners, recruiting employees and hiring skilled, committed employees is also a challenge in a small town. But folks talk. I heard repeatedly over and over that the ability it might be challenging to recruit folks to a small town, but the people who do want to come for the outdoor recreation, summer and winter, come for the quality of life, and that's what keeps them there. So it really helps the employers retain good workers over the long haul. And so that's kind of how we didn't necessarily quantify impacts to local businesses, but it was more trying to help those stories be told. And when you start hearing through the course of these interviews the same thing being said over and over, you know, I think it puts a lot of heft behind it.
But is it difficult to, say, assign a number to that? Like we know that out of 9 businesses interviewed, 2 of them wouldn't be here if we didn't have, you know, great trails.
Yeah, I'm as much as an economist, I love to put a number on everything that I can. That one, I think it was, I can't say exactly, what share of businesses are here because of the outdoor amenities. But I know some of the biggest employers and that for them, it's absolutely essential.
Mm-hmm. How does this reflect on homeowners? I assume that contributes to property values when you have a desirable place because you have these kind of outdoor amenities.
It does, absolutely. And there's been a lot of great research in a lot of different places around the country that have shown that houses, if you take the exact same home, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, 10 years old, this far from a school, all those kind of factors. And the only difference between those two homes is that one is close to a trail. The home that's close to a trail adds, kind of depending on where it is, between 5 and 10% to the property value. And one of the more interesting aspects of that research is that the higher price premium, so the, more towards the 10%+ price premiums, those happen when the trails are built at the same time when a subdivision is built. So it's cheaper for the builders, cheaper for the trail to be incorporated into the design early on. But then it also ensures that it's done thoughtfully in a way that, has good access to the trail and for the neighborhood and for other users.
You mentioned public health benefits, Jeremy, when you were talking. Is that something that's quantified as well, Megan, in the study? I mean, obviously, if we have a healthier population, that's an economic benefit.
Yeah, it absolutely is. We didn't consider that explicitly in this. That was a little outside of our scope. That was much more focused just on businesses and business impacts. But again, there's been some really great research that has looked at what happens to community health when you build a trail. And the research findings consistently show that people who are already active become more active. But even more importantly, are those folks who are not being reached, who were not up and moving and not physically active before, and that when trails are built close to town, close to where people live and they're easy to access, that you get a lot of newly physically active people. So you can have a really big change in community health. And some places have actually quantified that and looked at, compared the cost of building a trail for every newly active, physically active, and newly healthy person, comparing to the cost of other behavioral health interventions. And they find that the cost of building a trail is cheaper per newly healthy person than some other medical interventions.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, I'd add to that, some of the research shows that rural areas benefit extraordinarily from trail development, because if you think about it, most of our rural roads have very narrow shoulders or lack of sidewalks or other places to walk. I think we all remember, the tragedy that happened, was it last year out on McGee Road, where some women were out walking during their lunch break and one of them was killed because, frankly, there wasn't a dedicated safe place for them to walk. They're walking on a county road with no sidewalk and no, shoulder. So, especially in rural areas like Bonner County, these trails have an outsized impact on people's activity levels. And we all know that getting out and being active is something we all need to do more of. And the direct benefits to healthy outcomes from getting out and exercising, mental, physical, et cetera, and just community cohesion. I met with a few groups this week that are part of these walking clubs and walking groups. And the most interesting thing I found was that if the weather drives them inside or they're not walking, they still get together. They meet new friends. They check up on one another. So it goes further. It's part of this community connections, not just physical, but the relational connections that you have, mm-hmm. meeting someone or going for a walk with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the Monday Hikers group is a perfect example of that. And there's the group that gets together and takes hikes frequently. So that social connection, it contributes to their physical health, but also their, you know, social health, if you will. Yeah. If you're just tuning in, this is the morning show on KRFY 88.5. And this morning we're talking with Jeremy Grimm from the Lohr Foundation, as well as Megan Lawson from Headwaters Economics, which is based in Montana. But heck, you're almost a local by now, Megan. You've been over here a lot. And we're speaking specifically about the economic impact that trails and good trail systems have in rural communities such as ours, specifically our community. And Megan, are there other business impacts that you would want to tell us about from the study?
Yeah, you know, I think we can't, I can't overstate sort of that recruitment value of for businesses to be able to, you know, so local businesses who are need an engineer, they're recruiting at a national level. You know, they're competing against big cities for these highly skilled folks. And there's a much bigger macroeconomic trend where, especially since the last recession, all the growth in, not all, nearly all of the growth in jobs and population is really being concentrated in cities, in big cities like Seattle,
Portland,
yeah. You know, it's all happening in those big places. And so for a community like Sandpoint and Bonner County, you know, businesses are competing against these big metros and all those cultural amenities that those places offer. And so really that trails and outdoor recreation is really something very unique that that a place like Sandpoint has that, you know, there's big metros can't compete against. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something to, you know, when thinking about, you know, what does Sandpoint have that competes against, you know, that would make it outshine, you know, these bigger cities from an employee's perspective, someone who's considering moving, you know, it's really taking advantage of the assets of the community already has and enhancing them, thinking about connectivity and how to get communities connected, how to get communities connected to public lands and the lakes and rivers that folks love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. Trails improve the quality of life people already here, but they're also can be a powerful reason for people to want to move here. Mm-hmm. No, I think probably everybody in the room, well, at least me and Jeremy, we're here because we like living here.
Yeah. And Chris, I want to point out that it's not just the, you know, a lot of people think trails and think of Moab or Utah or Fernie, where you have this, you know, heavily focused trail user group based on tourists. And I've said for years that tourism is one of the legs of this economy in Bonner County, and it's an important one, not only because of the amenities and the restaurants that allows year-round residents to enjoy when the tourists aren't here, but because it can attract new business owners, new entrepreneurs. And that's one of the things I find most interesting is that you get this attractive coefficient. Someone might come up here because we have a great trail system, and they might, you know, go on a vacation and decide, why the heck, you know, I can move my business anywhere in today's world. Why am I not living here? And for those who know, a lot of our big industries, you know, whether it's Cochava or Quest or Tamarack or others,
Lighthouse,
you know, Leadlock, a lot of these businesses are here because people either came to visit the area or were fortunate enough to grow up here. But that coefficient, that attractant coefficient from the tourism is really powerful and something I think can continue our success that we've seen here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'll also throw out that this is not easy work. Building a world-class or even, you know, defensible world-class trail network is not easy.
A notable trail network.
That yes,
people
notable.
Say,
yeah.
Hey, They have great trails there, yeah.
That's right, and it's not simple. It's not easy. It takes so much effort. We have a lot of local groups that are working on this, but you know, we need champions, we need buy-in, we need support, and ultimately we need money to do this in this community. We've got the Pend'Oreille Pedalers, who are very active building trail networks, most recently doing some recovery work in the City of Sandpoint watershed and up by Schweitzer, Syringa Heights, and they'll be building trails into the new Pine Street Woods property. The county's recently my understanding is they've taken some action with Department of Lands on Gold Hill to look at, you know, expanding and managing those trails. But the Bonner County's Trails Plan, again, I encourage folks to go online and check out this document. This plan has a very specific list of actions, an action plan, and it really envisions us in this community building, 100 miles of trails a year for a number of years. So it's ambitious, but it really, the vision is to create a series of looping trails that go everywhere from the top of Schweitzer to the, you know, the Selkirk Crest Trail, all the way down to Sagal and Gold Hill and over to Hope and scattered throughout Pend'Oreille and Kootenay and Dover. So it's an ambitious project, and it's going to take a lot of will to get this done.
And for those who are suited out there, a lot of volunteers, because while it does take money to get these things done, it really, I'd say the volunteers are the ones that are driving a lot of the trail work, the physical trail work that are happening. You mentioned Pend'Oreille Pedalers. I know the Friends of Scotchman's Peak Wilderness, they have a lot of volunteers who do volunteer work out there. I think the Forest, you may know this better than I do, Megan, the Forest Service gets groups from outside the area to come into some of the remote Forest Service trails to do work. A lot of the trail work that's done now is done by volunteer groups.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Friends of the Bay Trail, can't forget them. They've been huge champions for the work that gives us access to, you know, the waterfront. There is no shortage of, if you want to volunteer and get engaged in trail building or trail planning or trail funding, there's no shortage of work. But you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be a collaborative effort between local governments, between private landowners, sort of the willing and the able. I can tell you anecdotally, just from this Headwaters Economics Report that was released, and you can find that on their website, headwaterseconomics.org, is it?
Yep.
I was talking to a fairly large-scale developer and builder in the area just last week, and you know, his initial comment was, you know, I don't want a trail through my development. People aren't going to want people walking back there, and you know, strange people passing through their property. As soon as I mentioned to him that, well, have you looked at the economic bump that these homes that are adjacent to trails receive? He started looking at research, and within a day was really, you know, spinning the wheels on how do I get a trail through my next subdivision, because I get it now. These are amenities that homeowners and community members desire, and it's really easy to put them in right when you're starting the development rather than after the fact. There's a lot of opportunity and a lot of work.
And you see just a very vivid example of that around the county when you're driving through different neighborhoods. People that are out walking, but they're walking on the road because there isn't a trail, a traffic separated trail for them to walk on. But they like to take their dog for a walk. They like to go for a walk after dinner, and they're out on the road. But if they had a trail nearby, you bet they'd be on that trail. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a short musical break, let our guests catch their breath here. And then we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about the trail study that Headwaters Economics just produced with funding by the Lohr Foundation. My question would be, what's the next thing that happens with the findings from this study? And we might have time also to talk about some of the other work that Headwaters has done here in the community about, or as you said, we have kind of an interesting, unique sort of economy here, and maybe we can talk a little more about that. But first, we're going to listen to a short musical break here. This is Bridges Home. The song is Over the Waterfall. We'll be back in just 2 minutes and 14.9 seconds. And there was Bridges Home over the waterfall. They're a local group, of course. So always like to hear the local music. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show. I'm the host, Chris Bessler. I'm here with Jeremy Grimm from the Lohr Foundation and Megan Lawson from Headwaters Economics. We're talking about a study that Headwaters just performed with funding by the Lohr Foundation on the economic impacts and benefits of trails in our community. And we've been talking pretty extensively about what some of the findings of the study. So my question, Megan, to you now would be, so what happens next with this study? What how do you use this information?
Sure. Well, you know, part of my goal for being in Sandpoint this week and talking to a bunch of different groups is really trying to get this type of information into a broader group of folks interested in talking about trails and kind of what trails might mean to them. I think there's some folks have you know, this idea that's for, you know, an elite thing, and that's for you know, retirees with time on their hands, or, you know, wealthy folks, that's what they do. But really that this is something that trails can benefit everyone in Bonner County. You know, folks walking their dogs after work, walking with their families, you know, it's really a much broader, broader group, and really trying to get, you know, get the attention of the business community and business leaders in the community, to, you know, share this story about, you know, the importance of outdoor recreation and trails in, kind of the economic vitality of the area beyond just tourism, but really into kind of the economic core of the community.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy, you were talking earlier about the Trail Mix Committee and the work that they did to come up with a kind of a long-term visioning planning document that's now available. As you mentioned, you can go out and search for Bonner County Trail Plan or Trail Mix and find that on the internet. So what happens next with that?
You know, that's a great question, and it's really up to the community to take this information and do with it what they choose. You know, I want to step back just a bit, Chris, and mention that, you know, this research, although it was Lohr funded, this was requested by the Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce and, you know, the Bonner County Trails Mix Committee. Steve Klatt signed submitted a letter as the former chair of that committee to support this research. So both of those groups said, you know, we really need data before we go out and just willy-nilly advocate for, you know, potentially millions of dollars of trail development and construction in this county. So this is really the first step, putting in myself in the seat of an elected official or an appointed official. You know, before you go out and seriously consider spending that kind of money on any kind of public asset, you want to know what's the return on investment. And I think that's one of the most important things that we've learned in this study, is that there is a definitive return on investment for trails. I can let Megan speak to it, but for every dollar, you know, you invest, you're going to get, you know, X dollars back from this investment. So, but then the next step is really, you know, putting our local communities together. We're going to go to the city of Kootenai, Ponderay. We're speaking at Rotary. We're really trying to get the word out about that return on investment, the economic benefit of trails. And I think once that's understood, it's going to take community collaboration. It's going to take Bonner County working with the local cities. Cities in Idaho have something called Area of City Impact Authority, where they work with the county on the growth just outside the city limits. All of these entities, government entities, have tools in their zoning and development code that allow trails to be incorporated into new development. So I think once there's a real strong collaboration and a working group of the governments in the region, and they can adopt and affirm that this trails plan is something they want to engage in, I think we have all the tools we need to start building out this amazing system of trails in Bonner County.
So that cooperation, does that take somebody that's going to be the spearhead to this? You know, I don't want to get into politics per se, but it does take a leader. It takes leadership to say, okay, we have a vision. It's agreed upon by a lot of different interest groups. But who takes the reins and leads the charge now?
Yeah. You know, luckily there's that entity already involved, and it's being run by Bonner County, which in my mind is the totally appropriate entity because they touch everyone here to be managing that. And it's the Trails Mix Committee. There's a Bonner County appointed official who is the chairman of that committee. And it's a committee that has a diverse group of, you know, 20 or 25 different entities around here that participate. Forest Service, the towns, user groups, Nordic groups, hiking groups, off-road vehicle groups, horseback riding groups. So that entity exists. And I'm hopeful that with this report and these findings that Headwaters Economics has developed, that people understand that this is probably a pretty easy sale. I mean, from a business perspective, and often people say government should run like a business. You know, investing in this is going to return this dollar amount. So maybe Megan, do you recall off the top of your head what are those ranges of investment and return on investment for dollars spent on trails?
Yeah, from the places that have actually measured this, it looks like for every dollar spent on trails, the communities usually get back between $2.50 to $6. So it's a from an investment perspective, it's pretty great. And in that return, so it's $2.50 to $6 in terms of personal income that's added to the community. Mm-hmm. So it's not just visitor spending, but that's money that comes back to the pockets of locals.
Yeah, so I think that message right there would probably resonate. You know, a lot of the times, and as I mentioned before, I worked in local government for 8 years here. You know, government doesn't make a lot of money. I mean, they extract taxes and provide services. You know, a lot of the things that local government does are costly. So when you look at something like investing in trails and amenities like that, you know, you can start to see how this possibly positively benefits the community. So, you know, I think that's one of the next steps is just to get the word out. I was visiting with some Selkirk Association of Realtor members who weren't even aware that we have a master trail plan for the county that's been developed in the last 2 years. So people need to be aware that a lot of work has gone into this so far. People need to see the vision, and I think people need to determine whether or not it's something they want to get behind and start to push that rock up the hill, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, to get more information on this, you can get a copy of the actual economic impact study from headwaterseconomics.org. And you can also go to Google, do a search for Bonner County Trail Plan or Bonner County Trail Mix, will probably get you there and get a copy of that master plan that you just mentioned. And of course, anybody that likes to take a walk should be the constituent for this, it would seem to me. We have some great things going on in the community. One thing you mentioned was the Pine Street Woods. And if, for folks that aren't familiar with that, that's 160 acres that the Kinnexu Land Trust is in the midst of a fundraising campaign to acquire and have that property as a community forest. It's at the upper end of Pine Street. It's adjacent to the Sherwood Forest. So if they get that property, they're going to be able to connect to the trails in the Sherwood Forest. And I wanted to throw this out because I happen to know. There's a walk for anybody that wants to take a look at that property that they're working to acquire. It's private property now, so you can't just walk up there freely. But there is an organized walk that's happening at 9 a.m. This Saturday. If you're interested in going on that walk, then go to kinnexu.org, and you can find the link to sign up for the Pine Street Woods Walk. And it one way to get a look at a place that will someday, we hope, be developed with some trails where the public can freely go, and it's right adjacent to town, and where we experience some of these benefits maybe we're talking about.
Yeah, and Chris, you know, the other thing, for folks who aren't familiar with that property, You know, it is unique in the sense that, one, it's very close to town, and two, its topography is relatively mellow and rolling. You know, we live in a glaciated valley here, and on both sides we've got the Cabinets and Selkirks, and they're fairly steep mountains, so there's really not a lot of outdoor opportunity for casual, you know, users to have relatively flat sort of mellow topography to walk on. Yeah. So that's one of the neat things there. But, you know, the access too, you know, these trails, I'll just throw this out as an aside. I'm a hunter. I try to hunt elk and deer. And, you know, we're adjacent to, here in Sandpoint and southern central Bonner County, we're adjacent to a ton of public land. But it's so hard to get on that land because there are very relatively few access points. For example, you know, from Sandpoint, you almost have to drive, you know, up to the Pack River to get on really large blocks of, you know, public land. So these trails, and in that trails master plan, there's a great couple of maps that show where the future proposed trails would be. You'll see that some of these trails are new access points to public land, which, you know, whether you're just biking or snowmobiling or hiking or hunting, you know, these are really important connections to make to that public asset out there. So, I again encourage everyone to go look at that trails master plan. And they've got it broken down into phases. It's very sophisticated. Their analysis of, you know, does it cross public land, or their watersheds that it crosses, or their views on these trails, and they've ranked a priority system for the trails that they aspire to develop these first couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been talking about trails again with Jeremy Grimm from Lohr Foundation, Megan Lawson from Headwaters Economics. We actually have a few minutes here, 8 or 10 minutes, that we can talk about some other subjects. And Megan, I wanted to do that with you because you have been in our community quite a bit doing various, you know, economic studies. And you mentioned earlier that we have kind of a unique economy for a small town because we have a relatively large amount of manufacturing. So give us your nickel view of the strengths and weaknesses of the Bonner County economy.
Sure. You know, I think in a lot of ways, Bonner County does look like a lot of rural places where, you know, retail is the biggest employer. Government's sort of a steady backdrop, and healthcare is big and growing. But what we see is really different is that manufacturing is big and growing, both as in just absolute numbers, but also as a share of total employment, which is really an anomaly, especially, you know, when we hear national news about our declining manufacturing sector. And, you know, so I think that's something that's really worth, you know, that I can't overemphasize, you know, the value of that, particularly in a place where, you know, we're interested in, you know, how do we keep folks here, you know, how to keep families here, how to give, you know, have jobs for kids to come back to or stay here. And the manufacturing sector is about 12% of employment in the county, and other rural places in Idaho, it's more like 6 to 8%. So it's a really big difference. And those jobs are really good paying jobs. You know, so it's, I think the area would be well suited to, or really benefited to think about, how do we keep those here? How do we recruit more? You know, because there already is this cluster in terms of, you know, aerospace and software. You know, there is some really great momentum in the area.
And how can we leverage that to get more aerospace or software companies to locate here?
Right, exactly. And, you know, I think another thing that came out of those those interviews with the business leaders was how pretty close-knit the business community is here. And so having opportunities for those groups to meet and, you know, and network and stay connected and, you know, kind of joined forces to, you know, advocate for themselves at the state level, that those would be really valuable opportunities to help those businesses, I think, have a more prominent voice in the community. You know, because I think it's, before I came up here the first time about 5 years ago, the stories I heard about Bonner County was that it was a tourism and retirement area. And so when I came to the community and, you know, of course I had to look at data before I came, being who I am, and think, wait a second, that's a small part of the story. Mm-hmm. Because tourism related businesses usually make up, they make up about a little less than 20% of the local economy. So there's a lot more going on.
There's much more. And there's this idea that we're a resort town, but we aren't certainly in the way that Jackson, Wyoming is, or Sun Valley. Those places, that's all they are, right? It's resort towns.
Right.
We have a much more diverse economy.
Right.
That kind of gets lost in the talk about resort towns. Well, we're going to run out of time, and there's a lot to talk about. But we do definitely see a demographic trend where our population is older. Is there a way to that, you know, a smart community can turn that around and start getting more young people, working families to see Sandpoint as a viable place?
Well, I think everything that we've been talking about and you know, thinking about diverse economy and how to attract entrepreneurs and folks from, you know, people from other places. Because, you know, and what Jeremy was talking about is, you know, with tourism as sort of a marketing tool, you know, not thinking of it as an end in itself, but a means to, yeah, people come up for family vacation and fall in love with the community and the, you know, small town charm, and, you know, really providing opportunities for them to, yeah, see, imagine their lives here, you know, and imagine their lives, you know, outside of, you know, just the kind of traditional tourism sectors, but these other really innovative businesses and sectors that are located in Sandpoint.
And it really requires getting that entrepreneur, getting that person that has either the small business or the idea, the kernel of idea for a small business to fall in love with this place. Mm-hmm. And then you get hooked and here you are.
Yep.
40 years later, you're hooked on Sandpoint and for some of us. And because it's such a terrific place to live and you weather the ups and downs of a small town economy because of that commitment to the place.
I think it's getting more difficult too, Chris, though, you know, with the housing prices. I've interviewed a number of local employers and, you know, they're challenged trying to attract and retain employees. So, you know, this is a complex sort of soup that we're dealing with. And, with retirees moving in and adding to the community in a lot of ways, they also are able to pay top dollar for homes. And those are homes that some of our local employers would love to fill with employees. So it's a complex mixture.
Yeah. Well, again, Megan Lawson with Headwaters Economics, Jeremy Grimm with Lohr Foundation, thank you for coming in and speaking today. You're going to be around town doing some other talks. Rotary, I know.
And Pondere and Kootenai. Yep.
And folks can go online to headwaterseconomics.org and find a copy of this study. And we're about out of time. I do want to mention that tomorrow on the morning show, hosts Jack Peterson and Jim Healy will be talking with Cameron Rasmussen about the upcoming Sandemonium event that's happening August 25th. It's kind of our version of Comic-Con, basically. And it actually took off. There were hundreds of people there. It's only like 3 or 4 years old. But there's a lot of enthusiasm for that event. So tune in tomorrow at 8 o'clock to hear Cameron talk about that. And with that, we're going to say goodbye. We're going to go out with a song here. And I cannot see the title of my song that I queued up, but it should be Harold's IGA. So we'll go out with that song, and I want to thank you all for listening. I do want to mention that next week, Susie Prez, my normal co-host, is going to be kicking off a 4-part series called Water is Life. And it's going to be exploring the many aspects of water in the areas of science and health and environment. We're talking about trails being important, waters is very important as well. So start tuning in for that. That'll be every Wednesday for the next four Wednesdays on KRFY 88.5 at 8 a.m. And with that, we're going to say goodbye. Thanks for listening.